Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Life can be stressful, and for younger people, the fuel for a rattling of anxiety can range from a lot of things, like school to friends, family, money, even social media. But there is one topic that some therapists say is starting to emerge as a stressor among youth, and that's climate change. It's easy to feel helpless about the changing climate, to feel like it might be too late to do something about it, and even if you want to, it's overwhelming to know how and where to start. When it comes to youth, even the state and local communities are starting to take notice, and therapists are starting to specialize or at least have conversations around ecotherapy. Our guest today is Shreya Agrawal, a health reporting intern with CalMatters. Shreya joins us to explain why eco-anxiety and climate distress are the real deal. Welcome.
Thank you for having me here.
So when we first came across your reporting in CalMatters, our initial reaction was one of surprise, but when you lay it out, it makes a lot of sense. So tell us how you became interested in this topic.
So I've been experiencing climate distress and climate anxiety since I was a young kid when I first heard about climate change, and I just never had a name for it. It just always was, oh, I'm just feeling like really worried about the future. But recently I started, you know, reading more articles about it, hearing from college students. And a lot of college students are just feeling stressed about the future because, you know, climate change is starting to becoming more real. We are seeing climate change fuel disasters almost every day. There have been mega floods and wildfires in California. And the more that I looked into it, I just found that a lot of young people are feeling this way.
When you're talking about youth and young people, is there an age group that you're noticing that are starting to speak up about this issue?
It's a lot of Gen Z kids. I mean, you know, young adults and a lot of teenagers, because they are the ones who are being told that you are the ones who have to solve this climate crisis. And they are thinking, well, we have homework, we have school, we have all of these different things. How are we going to do that and solve the climate crisis?
Yeah, and there are obviously these conversations that are taking place among peers. I mean, you're noticing this as well as a health reporting intern at CalMatters. But if people are still skeptical that this is an issue, your article also lays out research. I mean, there's a 2022 study by Blue Shield. What did that study find?
So that study said that 80% of youth in California, which is basically people from the ages of 14 to 24, they have experienced some kind of climate anxiety or some kind of climate distress, any kind of negative climate emotions at least once in their lifetimes. And that's a lot of kids. That's a lot of young people in California that are starting to feel negative emotions related to climate change.
And I think that signals, given that Blue Shield actually commissioned a study on this and not too long ago, this was from last year, that this is really starting to gain more notice.
Right. And they're starting to do this every year now. I mean, you know, this is becoming a huge priority given that we are actually seeing the impact of all of these disasters on us. And so, you know, when you see your peers face something, you automatically start to become stressed. What if it happens to me? What's going to happen in the future? Is it actually going to get worse?
You actually talk to people that are just starting to address this on a grassroots level, and they have created these informal gatherings called climate cafes. Help us visualize what a climate cafe is.
So a climate cafe is a very informal space where you can just come, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and just talk about your feelings. You talk about all kinds of emotions that may arise from climate change, and this can range from positive emotions that, you know, something really good happened, you did a beach cleanup, maybe that made you feel really, really happy, but also negative emotions that you might feel. So it's a confidential space. You're not supposed to talk about it outside of it. But there are so many people that feel this way. And when you sit in a space like this, you just see that, you know, I'm not the only one who's feeling stressed, or I'm not the only one who's feeling anxious. There are so many people who feel exactly like me.
Yeah. You spoke with a former college student, Maxim, who participates in these conversations with his peers. Is the turnout good? Like, people going to these climate cafes?
People are, unfortunately, there are not enough climate cafes to satisfy the need. So many more people actually want to go to these gatherings than are actually allowed to show up. But, you know, there is so many different emotions that show up in this space. he told me that sometimes they even laugh and talk about the things that they love, the things that are still beautiful on this planet. You know, it's not just always negative. People show up because it gives them a chance to be positive with like-minded people.
In addition to climate cafes, there's also urban gardens. And as you're describing it, these are like informal ways for people to connect and get support and share ideas and just sift through anxiety. That's what's great to have. That's why it's great to have a support system. Right. But there's also an industry out there that's starting to take shape. Can you tell us what you learned about ecotherapy?
So ecotherapy is basically any form of nature-based healing, which is basically you go out in nature and you give yourself the time to heal. You give yourself the time to feel protected and supported. And it can range from many forms, like forest bathing, which is basically you just going out into a forest yourself and just taking a walk and letting nature calm you down. But it can also be guided forms, where you go out with a therapist into nature and you let your therapist talk to you and, you know, feel that serenity and just see what's still remaining in nature, what's still good about it.
You actually spoke to certified ecotherapists. What did you learn from them?
So what they told me is that it's really important to realize that it is a collective trauma. I mean, all of us are facing the climate crisis together, right? So it's not something that's just individualized. And so you can't solve it alone with just medication and therapy. You need a community, but you also need to know that even though you can't fix the climate crisis, you can at least become more resilient to the emotions that might arise because of it.
I think we all know this on some instinctive level, right? Like we're having a bad day, we're going through a hard time, and just getting outside, going for a walk, you know, just being in fresh air, surrounded by trees, looking at flowers and, you know, bees and, you know, wildlife and all that stuff, it can really be incredibly therapeutic. And now this is just kind of being applied in more of a formally a therapeutic setting.
Yes, and it's really important too, because I mean, a lot of people are going through it and they just don't know, they just don't have a name for these feelings. And so an ecotherapist can help you define these feelings that, hey, you might be feeling stressed because of this. And even though you can't solve it, here's how you can become more resilient to these emotions that you still want to get up out of bed in the morning and not just feel like, you know, everything's going wrong in the world.
You also found that California, the state, is taking some small steps towards, you know, acknowledging that there is eco-anxiety and the benefits of ecotherapy. There's an environmental justice program in San Mateo. What did you learn about this program?
So this program is actually funded by the government in an effort to promote environmental justice learning from K to 12. And basically, they want to recognize that not all of us feel the effects of climate change the same. Some areas, such as, you know, in, you know, neighborhoods of color or communities of color, communities that are more poor, they may be impacted by climate change more. And so it's just a way for us to become more resilient, come together and try to experience this as a collective thing.
Is there a likelihood, given that this was funded by the government, of it going statewide and growing to more cities?
I think it definitely is. As the climate crisis gets worse, more people are going to experience these climate change fuel disasters. And so this means we need to build more resilience in our communities. And so I really hope that this program does go statewide.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Shreya Agrawal, a health reporting intern with CalMatters, about her reporting on the reality of eco-anxiety and climate distress that young people are feeling. So this is obviously, because we're talking about young people, it's becoming increasingly prevalent in high schools when it comes to teaching about environmental issues. What did you learn from speaking to student counselors and what they're seeing firsthand?
So the counselors that I spoke to, they said they hear at least one student talk about climate anxiety or climate distress every single day. It comes up every single day, and it's because students are just overwhelmed. They just don't know what's going on. They hear all of this bad news around them, all of these things happening around them, and they just don't know how to deal with it. Another thing that they're being constantly told is that you are the ones who have to fix this crisis, because when it gets worse, you are the ones who are living in that world. And they just think that, you know, I have homework, I have school, I have my friends, and now I have to deal with this crisis too. that's just a lot for a kid to feel.
Yeah, and that could also be a lot for a student counselor to shoulder as well. Are they equipped to deal with the anxieties surrounding climate?
So counselors, they're really trying their best, but they are also overwhelmed. I mean, there's just so much going on in their personal lives, but also schools in California, they're just not as well equipped to handle mental health in general, because, I mean, they just have too many students. In California, every counselor on an average, they have 500 students that they need to take care of. And this is almost double the numbers that the National School Counselor Association recommends, which means that these counselors, they just have a lot of students to take care of. And there's not just climate anxiety, right, that they have to deal with. There's also these other emotions that come up just because of school, relationships, all of these other things. And so they are feeling like it's a lot. It's really overwhelming them too.
Yeah, and especially when talking about climate change, I mean, it impacts not only youth, it impacts every single one of us. I mean, it's something that I think a lot of people think and grapple with and get stressed out about, especially when thinking about the future. If you're an adult or you're a parent and you see a child or a young adult kind of struggling with this, what can they do to better support them?
I think the most important thing is to ask questions and to really listen with compassion and curiosity. So you can ask a kid about how they're feeling. What do you know about climate change? Can I help you learn more about climate change? But also really ask about how they're really feeling from it. I mean, you know, a lot of times kids just don't know how to define these emotions. They are feeling this, but they don't know how to put it into words. So you can help them put it into words. So they can, once they identify it, they can just become more resilient towards it. You can also tell them that, you know, if you were in their shoes, you would feel the same. I mean, feeling validated is so important, not just as a kid, but as an adult. So it's really important to make kids feel supported. Mm.
I'm curious, given that you graduated recently from USC, you have reported on climate issues. It's something that you're really passionate about. Did anything surprise you as you dug deeper into this story with CalMatters?
I think the most interesting thing that I found was how much hope there is out there. There are so many kids who are feeling climate distressed, but, you know, it's also propelling them to become more active in this fight against climate change. It's propelling them to do beach cleanups, to organize student clubs on campus, just do all of these different kinds of things to protect our planet better. And they're hopeful. I mean, sometimes, yes, they feel depressed. They don't want to get out of bed. But when they see a community around them, when they see so many other people feeling the same way, they think maybe along with all of these other people, I can solve this. So I just love that element of hope that still remains out there.
Shreya, thank you so much. I learned a lot from your reporting.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Shreya Agrawal is a health reporting intern with CalMatters. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.